So the mayor...
The mayor, Larry.
In the film, Larry, I think after... I can't remember which attack it's after, but he applies serious pressure to keep the beaches open.
Yes.
Whether it's in denial that it's a shark or that it's just a one in a million chance or whatever, he's obsessed with making sure the beaches stay open to not ruin holiday season.
Yes.
Where's that? What inspiration?
Okay. Well, I think I need to take you back in time. I'm going to read you a quote from the film, which I featured in the introduction, but it's quite a quick part of the film, and it's sort of like blink and you miss it. So this is a quote from the movie, and this is Chief Brody, by the way, saying this to the mayor.
Right.
I mean, we've already had three incidents, two people killed inside of a week, and it's going to happen again. It happened before. The Jersey Beach, 1916. Five people chewed up on the surf. And that is the bit in the film there is when they're standing in front of the billboard.
Yeah, that's been
defaced. And the bather screaming help, uh-huh. You know, with the fin. So let me take you back in time to 1916, as they say in the film. And I'm going to introduce you to the 12 Days of Terror and the Matawan Maneater.
Oof.
Now, in 1916, all along the Jersey Shore, this was between July the 1st and July the 12th in 1916, there were five shark attack victims that became, I mean, almost worldwide news, but certainly spread all across the United States. And the people that were killed, these were the first recorded fatal shark attacks in US history.
Great, in 1916?
In 1916.
Okay.
So perhaps people hadn't been bathing particularly before that point.
Yes.
Or certainly not in large numbers.
And also to do with record, like, you know, recorded
record-keeping,
media,
sure.
Yeah,
but it had never been heard of before.
Crikey.
That a shark, and actually, the studies of sharks before that point were very limited indeed. And this started a period of real kind of investigation into what sharks were capable of. Because people didn't believe that sharks had the capability to even bite through a human being.
Yeah, to kill it. Yeah, okay.
Certainly to kill them. But even once their jaws clamped onto a leg or an arm, for instance, people didn't believe that sharks had the capability to bite off a man's arm or bite off somebody's leg.
Isn't that mad to think that now? Like, imagine trying to...
Yeah.
I mean, school kids know that at the age of five or six or whatever.
Well, we've all seen those clips of, you know, a great white shark's jaws
yeah.
and the rows of teeth.
Yeah.
It sort of looks like one of those like lawnmowers that you push,
yeah.
You know, the manual lawnmowers, where it's just like a conveyor belt of razor sharp teeth. There's like three or four rows. And to sort of having studied them now, to think back to that point and think, oh, I don't know if maybe one of those killing machines could actually destroy a man or not. It's kind of ridiculous to think. But anyway, we've introduced the Matawan Maneater on the Jersey Shore. So let's go through this. There was the first attack, which occurred on July the 1st. This was in Beach Haven, and this was on Long Beach Island. So
okay. Bear
in mind that the Amity in the book is set on Long Beach.
Yeah.
This is on the southern coast of New Jersey. A guy called Charles Van Sant. He was 23. He was from Philadelphia, and he was on vacation. And this was a point in history where vacations were starting to become more popular.
He's not related to Steve or Towns Van Sant, is he?
Who's that?
Well, Steve Van Sant is from is a part of the E Street Band.
Okay, I don't know.
From New Jersey.
Oh, maybe.
And Towns Van Sant is a musician as well.
Oh, I don't know.
He's a musician.
Well, I've never
further
heard
reading.
Of...
Further reading.
Yeah,
anyway,
we should look up into that.
I stopped you.
No. So Charles Van Sant, just 23, from Philadelphia. He was before dinner. He decided to take a quick dip in the sea. And apparently there was a retriever on the beach. I don't think it was his, but there was a dog on the beach and the dog was frolicking in the water. And somehow Charles Van Sant is getting into the water with the dog and playing with the dog and la 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 la. And then at some point, Charles Van Sant starts shouting and people on the beach think that he's calling to the dog. And then at some point it becomes pretty clear that he isn't calling to the dog. There's a shark biting his legs and attacking him in the water. Now, bear in mind, this has never happened before.
Yeah.
So this is completely new to people. And like people had no idea what was going on. Eventually, a lifeguard and a bystander go into the water, try and drag him out. They claim the shark followed them to shore, obviously because there's blood in
He's
the water
mine.
Now. Yeah, exactly. Get off.
Yeah, yeah.
Van Sant's thigh was completely stripped of flesh. And he bled to death apparently on the manager's desk of the hotel that he was staying at. And this was at about quarter to seven in the evening.
Ugh.
So this was a pretty messy scene, but people didn't quite know what was going on or what had caused this, and whether this was a shark attack or whether this was some other kind of bizarre incident.
It
just all seemed very, very confusing. And in fact, all the beaches along the Jersey Shore remained open. So this then sort of gets back to people in the local area, and sightings of large sharks start to come in on the radio. There's all sorts of sea captains and fishermen reporting on the radio going, yeah, we've seen a shark. Yeah, there's massive sharks in Newark, New York City, but nobody really listened to them. Yeah.
Like I said, I knew that there'd be shark attacks that this movie would draw inspiration from.
But yeah. Well, bear in mind, this took place less than 60 years before. Mm-hmm. And like I say, this was the 12 days of terror. The next attack takes place 5 days later on July the 6th. And this is in Spring Lake, New Jersey, which is 45 miles north of Beach Haven, which is where this previous
attack took place. This is also interesting because something happens on the 4th of July in the film as well. They make it, it's a big thing around the 4th of July. So it is that time of year.
It's exactly that time of year. Yeah, exactly. So this was in Spring Lake, New Jersey. And this is another Charles Bruder. He was only 27. He was Swiss and he worked at the Essex and Sussex Hotel.
He's not related to... No, I'm joking.
Yeah, he was also in the E Street Band. But Bruder was attacked swimming 130 yards from the shore. Apparently, basically a shark bit him in half. It bit his abdomen and severed his legs. Two lifeguards end up going into the sea. They row, actually, to him on a canoe. They bring him back. But like I say, he's been bitten in half.
Oh my God.
And he bled to death on the way to the shore. There's a quote from the New York Times. Women were panic-stricken and fainted as Bruder's mutilated body was brought ashore. Guests and workers at the hotel raised money for Bruder's family because he was Swiss. They sent some money back to Switzerland.
Of course, right, I see. Yeah, there's family out there.
No, he was just working there. He was actually a Swiss native.
Okay, so surely at this point we're starting to get some reaction from...
Well,
locals are starting to believe something.
You would think so, but I mean, similar to what we see with
the beaches
with
stay open.
The mayor, the beaches seemingly stay open, and we have to move on a few days because now we move on to the last day of the 12 days of terror. This is July the 12th, the Wednesday, and the next three attacks bizarrely take place in Matawan Creek, and this is why it's given the name of the Matawan Man Eater.
Okay.
And similar to how we see in the film...
I was going to say, when it goes into the lagoon.
Goes into the pond.
Yeah.
Goes into the creek. And so this is perhaps taken as inspiration, thinking that... Because I think at one point he says, why don't you guys go and play in the
there,
pond?
It's safer there. Yeah, you're meant to feel better. There.
Yeah, surely. Yeah, exactly. No one's going to... A shark's not going to come into the pond. Why would it? And a similar thing took place here in Matawan Creek. Now, bizarrely, Matawan Creek is freshwater, which is really unusual. So clearly, nobody really thought that there was any kind of danger in a creek. But I can tell you about the next three attacks that took place near the town of Keyport. And this was a little less salubrious, this area. This is more kind of what we see in the film.
Okay.
You know, it's more of a kind of... Apparently, it's described here as more of a Midwestern town rather than an Atlantic beach resort.
Right.
So, I mean, it was extremely unlikely that a shark would find its way along here. Thomas Cottrell, a sea captain and resident of Matawan, saw a 8-foot-long shark in the creek, runs back and goes and tells the town people and says, I've just seen this enormous shark in the creek. And everybody completely dismisses him.
Because it's fresh water and it's the creek, why would there be a shark there?
Well, and also that he's kind of an old sea captain. I know I mention The Simpsons a lot, but you know, he runs back and goes, I've just seen a shark in the creek. And everyone goes, shut up, you old,
old
buster. And they just completely dismiss him.
It's the origin of like Boy Who Cried Wolf. It's
yeah, well, I mean, we talk about boys. Around 2 p.m., a group of local boys...
I think it meant B-U-O-Y for a second.
Buoys. Lester Stillwell and his friends, Lester Stillwell is 11, were... What? No, Lester Stillwell was not well, I'm afraid. We go back to a pet dog. They're playing in the creek with their pet dog, Lester, and this group of boys. And at an area called Wyckoff Dock, they thought they saw this old kind of log. They thought this was a log floating in the river. But then a dorsal fin rises out of the water. And the boys suddenly think, oh my God, it's actually a shark. And they all climb out the creek apart from Stillwell, who is pulled underwater.
Oh my! Yeah, that's because that's the bit in the film where I think it's where they use the. Have we talked about it before? The
dolly zoom.
Dolly zoom. Sorry.
Yeah.
Where
they
you,
pull back,
keep
but
focus.
It zooms in.
Yeah. And that's that point with Brody, isn't it? Where you just see a fin. Mm-hmm. You see a person out at sea, and then you just see like almost a barrel roll from the shark. You see two fins just go, and the person disappears.
Well, that's the young boy, is it? That's Alex.
Yes, I think
when
it
he's
is.
On
yeah,
his kind of Milo, he's on his inflatable, and then they do that amazing shot, which is just iconic of Jaws, isn't it? That dolly zoom where the camera is pulling away, but they're zooming in on his face, and that's potentially inspired by
so
this.
Stillwell is pulled under.
Although it does reminisce for me the moment in the film where. It's probably my favourite shot of the film, actually, where the guy in the pond is hanging onto the side of his boat, and then the shark appears on its side, and it's very, very murky.
Oh, when he's like trying to get back on his upturned boat, and you just see the jaws come in,
and it drags him into the water. Yeah. That's probably my favourite shot of the whole film, just because I found it terrifying, and it's so well done. Mm. Anyway, so yeah, we talked about Alex, but Lester Stillwell is pulled underwater. The boys all scram. They all head into town and they try and look for people. And they go, "This has happened. It's been pulled into the water. There was a shark." And everyone stops going, "What are you boys talking about? What's going on? Of course, there's not a shark in the creek." So all these people turn up, including a local fella called Watson Stanley Fisher. He was only 24. So all these victims are very, very young.
Yeah.
He comes to investigate. They dive into the creek to find Lester, who's still there. They think he's had a seizure because they don't necessarily believe that there was a shark. As they find his body, he's dead, and they attempt to come back to shore. Watson Stanley Fisher, is also bitten right in front of all of these townspeople. He's attacked. His right thigh is injured and he bleeds to death in hospital later on that afternoon at 5:30.
Oh, that is the bravery slash... Well, it's not stupidity, is it? Because it's the desperation. Because if you don't believe that he's dead, and you want to go and or at least even just get his.
I keep referring
body.
To the point that this has never happened in the US before, apart from 10 days previously, or whatever it was. And so this is, you know, especially in a freshwater creek.
Of course.
It's really, really baffling. So, and eventually they recover the young boy's body about 50 metres upstream from this dock that these boys are jumping in and playing off with their dog. So that's, we've taken you up to victim number four there. I now need to talk about victim number five, which is just crazy.
But we're on the 12th day, so this is the same...
Same day. There is another victim,
and
this poor victim's name is Joseph Dunn. He's 14 years old. He's from New York City. He was attacked less than half a mile from this same dock that the boys are jumping off, only 30 minutes after the attack on Lester Stillwell. So this is basically at the time the boys are running back to the town to try and get people to come and help.
Oh, sorry, so this is happening in between?
Yep.
Okay. Yep.
So Joseph Dunn, he's playing in the river as well, and the shark again bites his leg. He strips it of flesh. Joseph apparently was rescued by his friends. Apparently his brother was there as well with, it's described here, a vicious tug of war with the shark. He was then taken to St. Peter's University Hospital, but the good news is he recovered from his bite, the shark bite.
Wow.
And was released on September the 15th. So, just a couple of months later. So four victims lost their lives. Joseph Dunn, 14 years old, recovered. And that brings to an end the reign of terror, the 12 days of terror. And in the press, this was described as the Matawan Maneater. And then questions began to arise to suggest, well, hold on, was this the same shark in the creek? They presumed that it probably was because they were very, very close together. But was this the same shark that had attacked the two guys that we talked about earlier?
Yeah.
Off the coast of Long Beach, which was not a million miles away.
So this is the question of
why
was something not
I suppose done. The immediate question was, if there had been no shark attacks before, fatal shark attacks before, is this just one errant rogue shark that's got a taste for blood and is seemingly unquenchable thirst for human meat? Or is this multiple sharks that have suddenly decided amongst themselves that they're going to become man-eaters. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if so, what's going on? And is this going to continue to happen?